Peter, writing in his first letter, says, "You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God." And specifically today, I want to begin with verse 18. "You know that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ." Ransomed. Ransomed. I'll never forget my mental image as a child of ransoming, that the wonderful thing that you see in movies and in cartoons where people would be kidnapped and then they would receive a note written with little bits cut out of newspapers giving the ransom notice. How much you would have to pay to get back the person who had been kidnapped. And I'm reminded of the story about the man who had tried to kill his wife, and just before he managed to go in there and do the dirty deed, along came some opponents of his and they kidnapped his wife and tried to ransom her. And he said, you want $500,000 for her? Nah. Make me a better offer. A better offer? Yeah, make me a better offer. Please, I dare you to kill her," he said. They finally argued and debated it down and got it down to $50,000. And when she found out about it, she was upset. "I'm going for a bargain basement blue eye special." That movie was, by the way, Ruthless People. Ransomed. The price that is paid to get back one who has been taken. And in this case, the one who has been taken, the ones who have been taken, are you and me, us. We have been taken by sin. We have been stolen away by sin, by our own sin. We have imprisoned ourselves. We have held ourselves captive by the very nature of sin, thanks to what Adam and Eve did way back in the Garden of Eden. So long ago, we have been imprisoned, have been held captive by sin. And Jesus has ransomed us, redeemed us. That's another wonderful word that could be used here. Redeemed. In the original language, the Greek language, and this is your Greek word for the day, lutrao, lutrao, based on the root word lu or luo, meaning to loose. Lutrao, to set free, to deliver, to release from captivity, to liberate. These words mean redeem or ransom. We have been loosed from the power of sin by the precious blood of the Lamb. We have put ourselves in slavery to sin, and the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has delivered us, has set us at liberty, has set us free, has redeemed us. And the word here in the original language is, this part of speech is aorist passive. What does that mean? Most languages have present tense, I am walking, and has past tense, I walked. But aorist in Greek means an event that occurred in the past, it happened in the past, it is contained in the past, it is not going on now, it occurred at a specific moment in the past. At a specific moment, it's no longer happening, it has been accomplished or achieved. It occurred at one point. A concept or an idea is punctiliar in English, or punctual in English. Take the pen in your hand and make a little dot on a piece of paper. You've made a point, or in, to use the Greek term, you've made an aorist point, a single confined point. And here the tense is aorist, meaning past tense, but completely and totally accomplished in the past. Hence, we have been set free. We have been delivered. The payment in full, the ransom payment to redeem us from slavery to sin and death was made at a specific point in time on the cross almost 2,000 years ago. All right? It's not something that is uncertain. It's not something that's continuing today. Jesus isn't continuing to die again and again and again and again and again. Jesus died once and for all at a specific point in time and in space. And in his death on the cross, in the blood that was shed forth on the cross, he redeemed us from our sins and from death. That's what it means in that. It's interesting how all of that concept can be tied up in this particular tense in Greek. We have been redeemed. We have been set free. We have been delivered. We have been liberated by the precious blood of Christ Jesus. Not by something that will perish like silver or gold. I mean, we think of silver and gold as being items of great value, and great value that only gets better if the market keeps going up and up. We think of silver and gold as being actually worth something. I know that's one of the best things to buy right now, that or oil wells. Well, my friends, silver and gold are as transitory as interest earned on an account you'll never see or cash out compared to the blood of Jesus. Silver and gold in this world and in the next are worthless compared to the powerful blood, the amazing, never-ending, never-fading blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's a wonderful song, a beautiful song, words that echo down to me. I love them, and I was searching for them frantically here this morning, trying to find them, and I looked in several hymnals, and I finally looked in one and found the words after Googling them on the internet. The blood will never lose its power. Here are the words. Sometimes we sing hymns, we sing songs, and we don't listen to the words that we're singing. Hear these words. The blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary, the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It soothes my doubts and calms my fears, and it dries all my tears. The blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. For it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength from day to day,
it will never lose its power.
Did you hear those words? When we're on the mountaintop of spiritual life, when we are on fire for God, it's easy to see God's presence around us. It's easy to know that God is near. It's easy to realize that God is with you, walking with you, hand in hand with you, leading you on the way. It's easy to feel God's mighty power and presence and know His delivering touch and His eternal love and the wonderful, powerful blood that will never lose its power. On the mountaintops, that's an easy affirmation. It's in the valleys. It's in the valleys where we need to be reminded by songs like these and by the Holy Scriptures that we read today that the blood of Jesus will never lose its power. It doesn't matter what kind of valley you are in today. It doesn't matter what kind of valley you may be walking through. Fears and doubts and tears. The blood of Jesus dries and wipes away all of them, my friends. We can have a powerful, wonderful, life-transforming realization even in the depths of the lowest valley. But the blood that gives me strength from day to day, it will never, no never, lose its power. The blood that Jesus shed on the cross, on Calvary's tree, so long ago, it will never lose its power. I don't care what kind of valley you may be in. I mean, we're coming up. Gosh, Friday is April the 15th. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh. What is it about tax day that just sends shivers down your spine? The blood of Jesus will never lose its power, even in the face of the 1040 form. The blood of Jesus will never lose its power, even in the face of trials and tribulations in this life, temptations in this life. Knowing that the blood of Jesus is there to cover and to wipe away all doubts and fears and every tear. Knowing that, we can go through the darkest valley of sin and temptation and be raised again to spiritual mountaintops. I don't care what you have done. If you feel God calling you, if you hear God calling your name, if you feel God drawing you, urging you, pleading with you, trying to guide you and drag you, even if you're kicking and screaming, oh, through the valley, give thanks and praise to God that His blood will never lose its power. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, let's keep going. Because I'm not done. Look at verse 20. He was destined before the foundation of the world. Jesus was destined before the foundation of the world. Wonderful. You're going to get a second word in Greek today. Progenosko. Now, genosko in Greek means to know. I genosko Jim. I know Jim. I've known Jim for 3 years. I genosko him. That's the meaning of the word, genosko, to know, to be acquainted with, to have as a friend. I genosko Rose, and I've genoskoed Rose for a very long time, much longer than I've known any of y'all. Isn't that right, Rose? At least another year. I genosko Rose. That sounds like a song, don't it? Pro genosko means before knowing. For knowing, ahead of knowing, prior to knowing, knowing ahead of time. And that can only be said of and by one person, God. God knows us before we ever are. Got to work on the tenses in this one. God knew you, Susan, before you were. Before your mother was, before your grandmother was, God gnoskoed you. That's prognosko, to know before. And here it's being used of Jesus. Jesus was destined, and that word is prognosko. And it's in the perfect passive participle, which means God knew him. He was known by God before. Before what? Well, it says, before the foundation of the world. That means before let there be light. You know, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Even before that, even before the I in the beginning, before the very beginning, before the foundation of the world, before creation began, God knew this about Jesus, that he would be, and his blood would be, our ransom, and he would be our redeemer. Before we ever were, before we ever sinned, before Adam and Eve ever trusted in the snake and not in the Word of God, before Eve added to the Word of God, nor shall you even touch it, before Adam said, yes, dear, and took the apple and ate, before God said, let us make man in our image, before God said, let there be light, before in the beginning, God made a provision for each of us here today. He made that provision long before we ever sinned, that in the blood of his Son, in the blood of the Lamb, we would have our redemption. And then it says, the very next line, while this happened before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. I was watching a program on the History Channel the other night, and it was dealing with the end times and the questions and the theories and the interpretations of the end times. And one of the things that struck me as I was watching the program and as I was thinking about my preparation for today was this very phrase that says that at the end of the age. And the grammar is very specific there. At the very end, at the beginning of the end, in the very end, at the time of the end of the age, he's been revealed. Well, that was 2,000 plus years ago in his birth, and 1,970 almost years ago in his death and resurrection. In other words, he died on the cross for our sins, and God knew it and made provision for it long before that ever happened and long before we ever sinned. And he was revealed at the end of the age, which was almost 2,000 years ago. Wow. That is true. We have been in the end of the ages ever since. In other words, the end is now and has been for 2,000 years. We've been expecting it. And the simple fact is, we need to be ready for it at any given moment. Because we might go outside these doors and get in our car and pull out onto these insane streets and be clobbered by an 18-wheeler. And in that moment, it would be the end of our age. And Jesus, I pray, would take you home. So we must be ready. at any given moment, trusting and leaning upon the blood that will never lose its power to wipe away every sin, every doubt, every fear, every tear. We are in the end of the age today, my friends. You hear lots of theories, lots of speculation, lots of interpretations about the end of times and of the book of Revelation. There's going to be a TV show coming up here. I hate the title Revelations. There is no S on the end of the name of the book, friend. Nevertheless, despite all the theories, we can set them all aside. And we've got lots of understandings in this very church. The simple fact is, we are in the end of the age now. We have been for 2,000 years. Jesus was revealed at the end of the age in his crucifixion and resurrection. And we better be ready. We better be ready. And there's only one way to be ready. And that's to lean on the precious blood of the Lamb. Okay, let's finish this out. The very end of the passage here in verse 21. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Wow. Faith and hope set on God. Here we have, like we had last week, we have an interesting use of in the word trust here. Through him you have come to trust in God, an adjective based on the Greek word for faith. And then it concludes, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Where is your faith and where is your hope set, my friends? Is your faith and your hope set on your own ability to get your life squared away and to take care of yourself and to behave the way you should behave and to be the good person, the good Christian you're supposed to be? Is your hope and your faith set on the government? Oh, gosh. No, I hope not. Is your hope and your faith set upon Almighty Dollar? I hope not. Is your hope and your faith set, my friends, on the blood of Jesus that will never lose its power? That's what Peter asks us of us today, friends. He asks us very simply in this letter to place your hope and your faith in God. In God and in the blood. The blood that is worth more than silver and gold. The blood of Jesus that will never lose its power. Trust. Be faithful. And exercise faith and hope in the powerful blood of our Savior Jesus Christ, which indeed will never lose its power. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let God's people say, Amen.